You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome to Wednesday, Brevard County. We are so glad that you have chosen to tune into the Refresh Radio program today, right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. One of the reasons that we can be here is there's financial support that comes from the saints at Merit Assembly of God. One of those families is the family that owns Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If you need any block or concrete work done, give them a call. They will come out, get take a look at your job, get you up and running, and, you know, it really helped. I had a house one time, and when you walked in the door, you knew that that there was a problem. The walls weren't straight. Walls that are running just north and south or east and west, but it's not running straight up and that can be an entirely different problem. If your foundation isn't level, if it's not smooth, if it's not square, if it's not in the proper spot, that can be a problem. You need, if you're going to have a house built, if you're going to have a pad poured at your house, I know some people that had a pad poured for their boat and their recreational vehicle. You want to get that done. You want to get it. It's got to be the right thickness. It's got to be the right consistency of concrete. It needs to be handled correctly. It needs to be poured correctly. It needs to be framed correctly. All of those things you need expertise. You need practice. You need experience to be able to accomplish. Jits Concrete can help you with that. 321-536-5804. 321-536-5804. 5804. Give them a call and have them come give you an estimate. Now, with the summer rains and things like that, schedules are in flux. So I encourage you to call them well before you need them. 321-536-5804 and have them come give you a quote and see if they can get the job done for you. So We're going to go back to the Word of God today. We're talking about deception, that it's not supposed to be part of the lives of believers, that when God tells us not to bear false witness against our neighbor, that's because he wants us to have good relationships with our neighbor. He wants us to have good business relationships. He wants us to have good relationships in our home, in our churches, in our governments. And so yesterday, we started talking about the fact that if we're going to live lives of integrity, we've got to deal with the heart issue, because yesterday's text, Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10, says the heart is deceitful above all things. Okay? The heart is deceitful above all things. Think of the most proficient liars that you know, and the Bible says that the heart is more skilled at it than any of those individuals. So we're looking to see what takes place in the heart, how we can avoid that being a reality in our lives, having God transform us into people of integrity, people of truth. And today we're going to start in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse number 8 is where I'm going to begin reading. We're going to focus on verse 13 through 17 is where we're going to go. Verse 8 says this: "Therefore you shall keep every commandment which I command you today, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land which you cross over to possess, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord swore to give your fathers, to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey, for the land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt, from which you have come, and where you sowed your seed and watered it by foot as a vegetable garden. But the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drinks water from the rain of heaven, a land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it, from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. You know, I think that we need to realize exactly how successful God wants us to be set up to achieve. Look at that. He said, look, as good, he was talking to people who always wanted to go back to Egypt. They were walking around in the wilderness. The more time they spent in the wilderness, the greater Egypt became in their rearview mirror. And here in Moses' finale of sermons that he gives to the children of Israel, Deuteronomy, I think, is about like five sermons long during this time. He says, look, the promised land, which God is positioning you and empowering you to go in and possess, it is not like that little vegetable garden you had in Egypt that you could. He said, this is a land for which which drinks waters from the rain of heaven. It's a land of hills and a land of valleys. It's a land for which your God cares. He's the garden keeper. He's the Lord of the harvest, if you will. And it says his eyes are always on it from the beginning of the year to the very end. He never loses sight of this particular piece of land. And so that's what God is positioning them to be brought into. Verse number 13 says this, and it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil, and I will send grass in your fields for your livestock, that you may eat and be filled. Now, before I go on to verse number 16, I just want to draw your attention back to verse number 13. He says, my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, those are commandments you need to obey. Okay? And he says, if you do that, if you obey my commandments, to love the Lord your God and to serve him. Now, notice there's two different components there. There are a lot of people who want to say, yes, I love Jesus, but they fall short on that next aspect about serving Jesus. There's a lot of people that say, look, there's not anything that I can do. I mean, all I do, I love him, he loves me, and as a result of that love, everything is fine. Well, that fulfills the first half, but it omits the second half. Okay? Worship is not only the attitude of our heart when we come to church, it is also manifest in the things that we do for the glory of God. It is manifest in how we work, how we function. And so I want to encourage you today, if you want to walk in the blessings and favor of God, keep that commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, and serve him with all your heart and all your soul. And he says, and when you do that, have I got a gift for you. Now, let's drop down to verse number 16. It says, take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived. That's what we talked about yesterday. And you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them, lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you, and he shut up the heavens so that there be no rain, and the land yield no produce, and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord is giving you. And so there is also a heart issue that is at stake if even though God brings you into that land of promise that he has for you, that you would not be able to be sustained there. Our heart inclination, our heart response to the goodness of God has everything to do with how long we can sustain living in the provision of God. Our heart inclination towards God is what's going to either sustain us in the land or cause us to not be able to thrive in the land that God brings us. And the negative aspect of this was that if your hearts be deceived and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Idolatry is one of the tools that the enemy uses to deceive a heart that was God intended to bless, but because of idolatry, they're not going to be able to enjoy the blessings and the favor of God. Now, in modern America, we don't necessarily think that idols are a huge problem. Well, I'll tell you, they're a bigger problem than what you think. I've gone to some of the most Christian cities in America, and you can find idols there. I've known Christians who, unbeknownst to them, they had idols in their household. It wasn't that they were necessarily worshiping them. They were just kind of deceived as to what those were. I don't want any of that stuff. When I was in a foreign country recently, if I walked in and I saw a shop that was selling idols, I turned around. I walked out. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. But you say, well, I don't have any of those graven images or anything like that. Well, let me tell you, the Bible says that greed is idolatry. Greed is idolatry. There are many people that think that if you don't have any money, that you are not a greedy person. I want you to know that that's not necessarily true. Greed is when money has a controlling interest in your life. It makes your decisions for you. It can be either the abundance or the lack thereof, but it can still control people. I know people today that are not worshiping God. They're not living for God because of their mindset towards finances. Now, please don't think I'm stupid here. Money is an essential tool in our society. You cannot pay your electric bill with good looks. You cannot pay your water bill with good intentions. You cannot pay your rent payment or your mortgage payment. It takes money to be able to do those things. And so it's not the money. It is the love of money that is the root of all evil. Okay? The love of money is the root of all evil. But there are people who put all of their trust in their bank account instead of in their trust in God. So in an agrarian society, what people would do is they'd say, well, I'm not going to be able to trust that God is going to always bring the rain at just the right time. And so they would cut out these cisterns. And the Bible says, you're not going to be able to trust those cisterns. I grew up in a home that had a cistern. Listen, you didn't want that water sitting down in there for a long, long time. I don't know if you've seen what happens to water that isn't moving, water that is stagnant, water that other creatures might like to find themselves in. That was the atmosphere that I spent my high school years in. my college years in. My parents lived in that house, I think, was built in 1953 or something like that. And it wasn't until probably the 1990s or the 2000s that they actually had running city water in the house. Okay. And God says, you're not going to be able to trust those broken cisterns. I'm not saying that you and I are not supposed to behave in a wise manner towards our finances, but when you cannot step out in faith and obey God because you are evaluating the negative consequence that it's going to have on your financials, then we've reached a problem. Then we've reached a problem. Now we have a greed problem. And so we can't afford to have that idol going on in our life. Don't be deceived by false sources of reliability you think you can trust. Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we will trust in the Lord our God. Okay. We have to be able to put our trust in God. Anything else that you try and put your trust in is going to lead you astray. Okay? So let me take you to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. This is where we're going to spend the next period of time here. Verse number 20 says this, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with diligence. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil." Isn't that what we started this particular segment of our study with? "Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And here Solomon writes in Proverbs chapter 4 that we have a responsibility in that evil-free life, and that is remove our foot from evil. Do not trod evil paths. Do not take journeys with people with evil intent. Those are all things that are in our area of capabilities. So let's look at this. How do we guard our heart? How do we keep our heart from being deceived? In verse number 23, it says, "Keep your heart with all diligence." In other words, you and I have to be intentional about this. It's not something we are going to accidentally achieve. It's not going to be something that's fortunate enough to get the good spiritual heart gene and the other people aren't. Listen, the growing in Christ is an equal opportunity for every individual. If you've got a Bible, you have the same opportunity to grow in Christ as the most schooled person. You have more tools available right now to grow in your faith than mankind has ever had on planet Earth. You have availability to some of the best preaching and the best teaching. We have people who are falling away from the faith in the midst of all of this great resource simply because they are not taking care of their heart with all diligence. What's the first step? Well, in verse number 20 and 1, "Incline your ear to my sayings." We need to really focus on having an adequate input of the Word of God, and not just hearing them, but keeping them in the midst of our heart. and keeping them before our eyes, don't letting them go away. You know, if I've got something that I don't want to forget, I make sure that it is in front of me, that it's something that I notice day after day after day. There's something that's happened on two different occasions, and it's like been so frustrating, and that is that I knew something was coming up, but I somehow got the departure time and the arrival time mixed up. I thought the time that I needed to arrive was the time that I needed to depart. And so I'm from now on, when there's something like that and other people are counting on me, I'm going to start putting up there, this is the time to leave, because I get so busy that I get to doing something and I can miss my departure time and inconvenience other people. That's not something that I like to do. It's even more important when you're talking about the Word of God. If you've got a Bible, let me just tell you this. The excuse from years gone by that lots of people used is this: I'm just not being fed. I'm just not being fed. Well, grab your Bible, grab your paper, grab your pen, sit down, and have a feast on the Word of God. You will find that I've had people tell me this, during some of the hardest times of my life, I just spent all of my time studying the Bible and taking notes and all of that sort of stuff, and it was just the greatest time of my life. And then I got away from it, and now I'm having all of these issues. Well, let's not end good practices. Let's not end good habits. Let's not stop doing the things that are promoting spiritual maturity. Let's keep our heart with diligence, because out of the heart spring the issues of life. If we take good care of our spiritual heart, life's going to get a whole lot better. That passage in Deuteronomy that we talked about, it talked about the blessings that would come if we would obey, if we would love and serve the Lord with all of our heart and with all of our soul. Verse number 24 says this: put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. So this is a decision-making process. Okay. Once the Word of God is in your heart, there's going to be some decisions that you make, and that is, you are going to put some distance between yourself and deceitful voices. Now, there's two applications here. One is, when you've had a heart change, when you're filling your heart up with the Word of God, you're not going to be lying, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But the second issue is this: you are going to distance yourself from other people, other voices that are lying to you. Okay? If a person lied to you, why would you continue to listen to them? Let me take it one step further. If you know that a person lied to someone else, what makes you think that they will not lie to you? That's the crazy thing to me about people who are unfaithful in marital relationships, is the person that they're lying to their spouse about is absolutely 100% convinced that they're going to be truthful with them. That's not a logical way to look at it. So you want to say, you know what, God, you're filling my heart up with so much spiritual truth, so much truth from your Word, that I don't want to listen to the lying voices anymore. If it's a lying voice on television, turn it off. If it's a lying voice on the radio, turn it off. If it's a lying relationship that you have, put some distance in yourself and say, you know what? I don't have time. I don't have room for deceit because God is telling me the truth. It, verse number 25 says, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. So you set yourself in a vision field, and I don't know exactly how it happens, but the things that you set your eyes on end up having an effect upon the course that you take. If you're driving down the road and you look up at a billboard, the next thing you know, your car is going to be veering towards that billboard. Now, I know that they're putting some technology in, but I'm telling you from a personal perspective, you end up being drawn into the area that you are fixated on your vision field. That we have to guard our eyes. That's why we have to guard our eyes at people, guard our eyes about looking at things that we shouldn't be seeing, looking for things that we don't have the resources for. We have to be careful about all of that. It says, ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. And so if we are going to be very serious about this prayer, God deliver us from evil, then we are going to have to assume our responsibility, and that is to say, God, where you lead me, I will follow. I'm going to fill my heart with your word. I'm not going to allow my input to be affected by lying voices. You know, there are people who have propagated lies after lies that people are speaking to them and believing them. And I'm telling you, that's foolishness. That's foolishness. Say, God, I'm going to set my feet on the path that lines up with the truth of your word. Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Have you set your feet on that path today? The path that says, I'm going to follow Jesus. I've always operated from this mindset. The person who came from one location to another location is the person I trust that's going to be able to get me back there, not the person who's never been there before. God bless you. I pray you'll fill your ears with the voice of truth. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.